empty the chamber on them. And how do you do that? We're 6 seconds, point eight, point B, everything you got. Everything you got. Turn that shit up. Let's go. Let's go.
Welcome to the Scoop World Order. It is Rutgers week. It is Tuesday. We are cranking along. We have a fantastic show. We have a little bit of All-22 film ready to break down for you guys. Greg Schiano actually just concluded his Rutgers press conference. Give a little bit of what he's talked about there. And big stretch coming up here for the Bucks. I mean, Rutgers is it's like a 41-point underdog, so this isn't going to be much of a game. Nobody expects it to be much of a game. We get to see our old friend Greg Schiano, who Ryan Day gave the bullet to as soon as he became the head coach. And it's going to be a nice little stretch here before we get to Penn State, which will thankfully be a noon game out at Happy Valley. So with that being said, as always, we are thankful for you guys for growing, and we are very thankful. It's all because of you guys. So thank you for liking our content. Click that little like button. It does a huge amount to help our videos grow. It exposes it to more people. It's all because of you guys. Comment below, what do you want to get out of this Rutgers game? Do you want to see the backups? Do you want to see CJ Stroud throw for 7 touchdowns? Like, whatever it is, comment it. And do you think that Ryan Day is going to tax Greg Schiano? Because he let Schiano go. 18 was one of the worst seasons we've ever had. I don't think that was all Greg Schiano's fault, but it was his scheme. And it was one of the first decisions Ryan Day made when he became the head coach in 19 was to get rid of him. So it'll be interesting to see how this one goes out at the Horseshoe. That being said, thank you guys as always. Appreciate you. Comment down below and also shout out where you're from. I love when you guys are doing that. You guys are starting to do that every video. It's awesome. That being said, bring in my good friend Nevada Buck. Nevada, how are you today?
Doing good. Looking forward to seeing Schiano back in the Horseshoe. I'm actually one of the few people maybe that I'm actually a fan of Schiano. I like Schiano. I think Schiano did some good things for the program. And I actually wish him well. He's one of the good guys, in my opinion. And I've always thought he made some positive contributions to Ohio State. And so I have no ill will towards Greg at all. Hope they do good job in every game except for this one.
I honestly am right there with you. I love Greg Schiano. I golfed with him one time, and he talked to me about knowing and meeting James Gandolfini. He's one of my favorite, easily my favorite actor, huge Sopranos fan, all-time favorite TV show. Talked about how generous James Gandolfini was. And this is at a time when he was he's one of the 5 highest paid actors in the world when it came to, doing commercials and his show. And he would always give generously to Rutgers. He did a commercial for free for Rutgers. Like when he was, in the swing of being Tony Soprano, and he was really, really expensive to get, he always gave back to Rutgers. He was never anything but a gentleman around Greg Schiano back when he had it really cooking at Rutgers. In the mid 2000s with Ray Rice and Anthony Davis and that whole squad. So I have talked to him one-to-one. I thought he was great. I was actually upset that it didn't work out here, but it is what it is. Things work out for a reason. We have Jim Knowles driving the ship now, and he is fantastic. Nevada, I asked the viewers on SWO today, what do you want to see out of this game this week? 41-point favorites against Rutgers in the Horseshoe again. What do you personally want to see Ohio State accomplish this week?
Well, I think what we're going to see is we're going to see just a little bit more of the evolution of the OSU defense. And I think the reality is right now that we've seen very, very little of the Ohio State defense. And, if you're an astute observer, if you're a person that listens to these podcasts and been, subscribing to our site, and you kind of see what's happening with Knowles and how he's kind of working from – he's working from inside out, from that double-A gap blitz stuff to his funnel blitz to his jack look to, working the safety scheme to freeing up the linebackers to run. When you talk to the guys inside the program, they're saying that they've only probably unveiled 15, 20, 25% of the defense so far. And I think what we're going to see this week is a little bit more, just a little bit more. And, it's kind of scary to think that he hasn't really fully integrated what he wants to do yet for the OSU defense, but that's a reality. We've seen very, very little of it so far. We're going to see a little bit more this week, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he has in store for us.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting to see how much of that he actually wants to put out on film versus how much he wants to hold. I think that there is a functional part to putting it on film just to see kind of what works, what doesn't work, especially with the Jack front where you have Jack Sawyer walking around, in both A gaps, walking out wide. With the Jack stuff, generally there is a cohesion and a symmetry between the front three guys and the Jack, and kind of like one guy has to kind of take the bullet so the other guy can make the play. So that thing really has to be tight or else it can look terrible. So there's a lot of things that we haven't seen yet. I just want, as always, with games like this, I just want everyone to try to get out as healthy as possible. I don't think you let Jackson Smith and Jigba leave the training room all week. I think he's in the hot tub, cold tub, getting laser therapy on his hamstring, whatever he's got to do. You know, anybody with a hangnail needs to be held this week because I think this is going to get ugly in a hurry. If Iowa can score 28 and Iowa has the worst offense in the Big Ten, then Rutgers' defense has to be really, really, really bad. With that being said, I'm going to move us over into our film room. And we have one of everyone's favorite segments. We have our wonderful All-22 film. So hang on, let me get this clicked in. And away we are going to go. Nevada, what do you want to see out of our offensive line? Has really been fantastic so far to start the year. Here, you know, we got Trey, we got our pistol set. This has been something that they've run a lot. Thankfully, it's not 100% run this year, but you know, when you've got Wand and you've got these guys working in the zone game, this is the first play of the game, little stretch play. You motion in Cade, he's gonna come take him out. You got your double team back here, real simple, nice clean box. You know, again, a lot of these teams are playing two high safeties back here, so you got your strong, you got your free, because they're scared to death of CJ taking a shot deep. So we're seeing more two high safeties than we've ever seen. And I think another function of that is the fact that CJ does not run the read option, where generally with the read option, where you could match the number of guys that could potentially get the ball, you'd bring the safety down the box. So they're not worried about that. They're worried about CJ throwing over their heads. So you're seeing two safeties, seeing a clean box here for our line. So you got your six blockers. He's backside, double, 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 double. PJ locks him up nice and easy. Nice big hole right here. The interesting thing here is, and this is a tough look for Donnie. So Donovan Jackson here is working a combination block front side to here. But the issue here is that the linebacker backdoors it. So this puts Donnie in a tough spot. He's thinking he's going to flow with the running back, but he's actually flowing with the cross block. So he backdoors it here. So Donnie likely got a missed assignment, because you'll see at the end here, Luke Whippler curls off and tries to pick that guy off, because you know, if everything's clean, you know, and you get Julian either here or here, whoever's the most dangerous, you know, he's taking the corner. You can really take either of them. You know, if Donnie stays on the three technique, this down guy right here, this thing is, you know, you got Trey Henderson versus a safety. But Donnie, you know, he has like one of those brain farts. He lets the guy go. And the three technique is who ends up making the play in the hole. So that's a misassignment. We used to call this Moz because there would be an M.A., and again, that's a tough look. That's not like a pure brain fart. I think Donnie's just jazzed up his first play of the game. Nevada, what do you like about this concept? What do you like about what Ryan Day is doing? I like the motion. I like the lot of eye discipline for these guys when you see Cade coming back across. What do you like about this play to start the game off?
Well, I mean, it's counting to me. And like, you know, when CJ Stroud goes to the line and count six guys in the box, and you know, you can go around there with your little telestrator jobber, and you see six guys, you know, four across the front and two linebackers. That's a run look. Yeah, that should always be a run look. And you see how close that play came to being a gigantic play. You know, if Donovan makes, you know, stays on the three, then Trey, you know, like you said, Trey's, yeah, you know, he's got at least 10, and he might take it to the house. And, but I mean, you know, that's elegantly simple. That's not, you know, that doesn't take a master class in deception or anything else like that. If they go to the line and they count six guys in the box against that Ohio State front, you just don't be afraid to run it. Don't be afraid to stick with the run. And, you know, even when it only went for 2 or 3 yards, like I said, the fans can all look, and you're doing a great job with the telestration here in terms of showing that was darn near a big play.
Oh, it's a massive play. And then this is, again, this is when you build a system. Again, like, that's the thing that Kevin Wilson is fantastic about, is, you know, when you build a system and not just a play, you build a system of plays, you show a similar look. It's not the same look. It's still, this is gun. It's not pistol. You have Trey offset strong here. But you bring Cade across again, so it's the same motion. The beginning of the play looks exactly the same. It looks like a zone. Looks like everyone's zoning. And, you know, you got your fake here, and you've got Cade coming here. So everything looks pretty close to the same. It's not completely identical. But, you know, CJ pulls it. And again, like, if he doesn't, I think this is probably a called, or excuse me, this is a full RPO. But, you know, I mean, if he gives this here, I mean, I still like our chances. I wish this was a little bit cleaner. But, I mean, he could split this right down the hash, too. I mean, if you look at, imagine Trey Henderson has the ball here, right here. I mean, he's to the safety again. I mean, he's to, or this would be like the squat corner back here. But again, that guy's got that guy. You know, you got he's back here. Now, this guy, you know, this guy takes a step. You know, if CJ, imagine CJ's just pump faking, like he's just faking the throw, like he is now, and this guy just bites on that for a second. You still have CJ and this guy because this guy's gonna have to put his foot in the ground and realize that CJ has the ball. So again, this is so hard to defend. And when you've got Marvin out here, he's getting his activity ring closed on his Apple Watch. He's got his Louis Vuitton cleats, which I'm sure he got crushed for by Ryan Day because he had to take the watch off and take the shoes off at halftime. I'm sure that he probably got some discipline for that. But you know, I love the eye candy and the way that it stresses the defense out because you go from a tight zone this way and then you throw it out to the opposite side of the field. And the hardest part and the thing that people don't realize is how – conditioning wise, you know, I know that's only two plays, but on the defense, you know, when you throw that ball out to Marvin, these guys all got to turn and run. So one play they're running over here, the next play they're running over here. It's like running wind sprints, and these guys get tired and they don't like that. So Nevada through two plays, you like the system that Kevin Wilson is running?
Well, the tight end action is really something, and again, I'm so glad you highlighted it on this because it's really been a staple of the OSU offense, you know, this year, and something that we haven't seen. And it just presents such a conundrum to opposing defenses because, one, you're creating those angle blocks when he comes across something like a trap block on that defensive end if it's, you know, in a run play action or anybody from the backside. But when you run those tight ends across the formation, then it's easier for them to get lost in the wash and leak out to the flat or do the other things that Cade Sarver's doing. So it's such a good look for Ohio State. It gives them options in both the running game and the passing game. And it starts to unlock, you know, some of the magic of Cade Sarver. And as we've seen, you know, if we ask for a single biggest surprise story of the OSU season, that the utilization of the tight end might be it. I mean, we've never seen an OSU tight end used in this fashion. We've had some great tight ends. We've had some guys that have gone on NFL, you know, careers and riches and guys that have been just terrific players. But we've never seen a tight end featured the way they're doing it right now. And you know, it starts in the running game with this action, and it goes on to the passing game, and it's just so fun to watch, and it was certainly on display, though, those first two plays of the game.
Yeah, and I think Cade is, I mean, in my opinion, he's the best tight end we've had since Ricky Dudley, and people are going to throw tomatoes at me for saying that, but his combination of speed, toughness, ability to block, soft hands, ability to get open, trust in the quarterback is why he's having the biggest season that we've seen. I mean, and again, I coached Jeff Hireman. I coached Nick Vent, you know, guys that went mid-round NFL draft picks. I think Kay is right in that slot. I think that he'll win people over in the interviews. And I told him this last year when I talked to him in 2021. I was like, dude, there's a lot of guys that are like you in the NFL that play 10 years. Not every tight end in the NFL is Darren Waller or Tony Gonzalez and catches 100 balls a year. Like, there's a lot of guys out there that they're the second tight end. They block. They play every special team. I mean, the Cade Sarver special, tough as nails, can catch the occasional ball. You know, I mean, you need some guys that are just programmed guys like Cade is. So this is just an empty scat protection. It's five on five, or I believe it's just four. Yeah, they only bring four here. Yeah, they're in an odd front. It looks like they walk. This is, it's interesting because this is their best player on defense, and they walk him out over the slot, which I think is a waste because he's their best pass rusher. So they end up bringing these three. He comes. So this guy, they run a little game here, and this is real good by Matt Jones. So Matt Jones, you know, at this very moment, you know, DeJuan is kind of angle setting. I don't love his set, and you know, this is an inside move and an outside move. And at this moment, you know, Juan has his head buried in this guy's chest, so he can't see that this guy's coming. You know, it's there really isn't a tell that he is coming, but he is. And so Matt actually does a great job. of trying to step around and get a piece of the guy, because Juan's buried, and this guy hits an inside move, and Juan's glued to him, and again, that's a communication thing, and, you know, and Juan, it's not pretty, but the guy doesn't get anywhere near the quarterback, so it works. It's a plus. The technique's probably a minus. PJ's fine. I mean, PJ's blocking a three technique. He'll never, and again, he could probably be even firmer here, but that's real easy. You know, Matt does the best he can. Ideally, you know, if Matt, you know, I don't love that he steps in with this guy when he's got Luke coming with him. Matt could sit right here and make this real easy, and Juan could pass it off to him, and Juan could kick back on this little game they're running. But, you know, it works. And then CJ just drops the perfect ball right into Cade. Cade's all jazzed up with his Gronk Donjoy knee brace that's all blacked out in black tape, which is great for the game. But Nevada, what do you like about this? I mean, again, the pass pros, it's not perfect, but it's real clean. Nice, easy ball for Cade. And, you know, CJ just drops a dime. But what do you like about this play so far?
Well, but I think this play highlights to me is, you know, and again, something that may not be a popular opinion with people, or maybe a popular opinion. I don't think our pass protection this year is as good this year as it was last year. And I think, you know, I heard a lot about tackles playing guards and other things like that. But, you know, whatever it was last year, CJ could sit in the rocking chair, and, you know, other than the Michigan game, he didn't get a lot of pressure, you know, and this year CJ's having to move around a little bit. He's having to move around, you know, it's not jailbreak time, but, you know, he's not just getting those clean sets where he's sitting there and just having a chance to kind of go through his progressions and picking whoever he wants. And, you know, I think it's making CJ a better quarterback. He's kind of getting feel of what life's going to be like in the NFL, where he's going to have to move around, get that pocket feel a little bit, and get that pocket presence going on. But, you know, you are having the occasional breakdown. And as good as the offensive line has been in the running game, and it's been really good in the running game, I think, you know, maybe it's B-plus in pass protection and, you know, not quite up there. Little room for improvement that we can do, and, you know, not where we need to be. But obviously a great offensive line effort on Saturday night. But, you know, little things that they can clean up that'll make the OSU offense even that more deadly.
Yeah, I agree. The pass protection, it has not been as good. I think that it's a function of how good Nick Petit, Frere, and Thayer Munford are. Now, mind you, Nick Petit, Frere, and Thayer Munford this past week, and the Titans and the Raiders played. They both started and played the entire game at right tackle. Thayer started at right tackle for the Oakland Raiders. Nick started at right tackle for Tennessee. So shout out to those guys. That's really hard to do as a rookie, start in the NFL. So those guys have bright futures here. It's real interesting here. So Cade, yeah, they show the three by one. Cade motions in, and I for the life of me, I can't figure out why. Excuse me, their buck, you know, their stand up guy, basically makes. I mean, he's outflanked just by his alignment. So I mean, initially this is probably going to be a combination block between Cade and BJ, and he reduces down to the point where Cade doesn't even need to touch him. So I mean, that's like stealing. You got these two, you know, deleting those two, and Cade is colliding, you know, from here to here, most dangerous. You know, Luke's working up here, got an easy block here, and it's just a stretch out the front. And Cade does a great job of coming back and helping PJ seal this up. But I mean, you look at this, and I mean, you know, these guys don't have a chance. You know, I mean, they're going to rally to the ball, but you know, you got Trey, you know, you got body on body. It's Trey versus the safety again. And this is great. This is fantastic hustle, I mean, by this backside linebacker, because the front side guy gets it's actually amazing that Luke is working for this guy, and somehow this guy crosses his face and he's able to actually take the guy that's the front side guy. You know, he gets enough of them where he's not that might be a little risky on a hold right there, but you know, we're not gonna say anything. But the backside guy actually chases it down. But again, that's, you know, he doesn't get touched till, you know, what, he gets 10 yards or so. Nevada, again, the scheme looks great. What do you think of that run? The stretch front side to the wide side of the field.
Yeah, it just demonstrates how you know, productive the offensive line was being in terms of the running game. And you know, they had plays where there were literally guys not touched. There was one play with Mayan where there wasn't anybody within 10, 15 yards of them, and it was just blocked up so beautifully. And on that play right there, you see, you know, the running backs were able just to run free, and it's just really a tribute to Justin Fry and to Ryan Day. And as importantly, and we talked about this a little bit on the board, to Kevin Wilson. You know, you're seeing a lot of those run blocking schemes that Kevin Wilson used to run at Oklahoma. You can see him starting to get fully integrated into the OSU offense. And as a result, they're opening up some gigantic holes, and both running backs are feasting for Ohio State. I never thought that I would say this, but you're really at the point where we've got two guys that are equally as good. They do little things, better than the other one. But if either guy, knock on wood, went down, you have no problem with the other guy getting, all the carries and having no doubt that Ohio State could compete at the highest levels. And it's a rare occasion when we've had that much talent at the running back position to be able to say something like that.
Yeah, I agree. They're both NFL guys. I think Trey, again, people, they try to say one's better than the other. I think Trey, his ceiling is Saquon Barkley, and I think mine's is Carlos Hyde. And again, both very good Big Ten running backs. I think Saquon is a much higher ceiling guy, the same way I feel about Trey. Nothing against mine. I just think that Trey's he's the better player at this point. But again, if mine's in, I'm never distraught or upset because I think that they're both really talented. And we've had years where we've had no running backs, and this year we have two really good ones. I think Dallin Hayden showed some stuff. So this is an interesting thing that through four plays, we have motioned Cade Stover every single play. So I don't know if he's got his Apple Watch on, he's getting his steps in, but my boy is running across the field, little short. It's kind of like it's like a fake wheel route where he actually digs it in here, and he's actually open again, but CJ doesn't go to him. I think PJ, this is something PJ needs to get better at. He loves to angle set. And here, when you're up in this two-point, you should be able to pick up on this. When this is a an adjustment, when these guys are manned up and he motions and all of a sudden he bumps down and their check to this motion is that he's gonna blitz, and then this guy peels off and he's gonna take Cade now. So now you've got an edge guy who just appeared, and PJ should see this. And the thing about when there's an edge guy who's declared, I mean, he's literally standing on the edge, so he's gonna blitz. 99% chance he's gonna blitz. You got to know that this guy is going to be going in the B gap. This guy's coming off the edge. They're not going to both rush off the edge unless they have a misassignment. So you got to kind of guess on that. And I don't like PJ's set here. PJ loves to angle set, but I don't think against an edge pressure you should be setting outward, especially when the guy's going to go inward. It's kind of like your screwing. So he covers him up, but he makes this a lot harder than it needs to be. If he just takes one kick and realizes that there's an edge guy and this guy's coming in, he take one kick and just push him right into the pile, as opposed to he makes this way harder than it needs to be. And again, PJ is an exceptional athlete, exceptional player. This is a play he probably wants back. It's a good learning experience. As long as you don't let this beat you again, the rest of the guys clean, they muck it up. Literally, it's a triple team in the middle. Juan's got his guy. And honestly, if there was more time and you could, take this to the left, I mean, I know you got Trey coming back here. You really could pick all this up with the O-line, just based on the alignment here. But, again, it's easy to say that in the rocking chair like I am right now, as opposed to in the middle of the game. But, PJ gives up a pressure here. This is not good by him. But, again, this is something to learn from, because this should be really easy. And, Luke's taking it out to here and here. He thinks that this is coming from here. That guy ends up dropping out. So, but, yeah, PJ needs to be better here. But again, you look at, the good thing about CJ is he's getting rid of it. He's ripping it. Emeka is open. Emeka is, I think Emeka might be our best receiver at this point. Fantastic here. Cade's running his little fake wheel dig. I mean, there's nobody home. The safety is kind of screwed because, Cade's running free here. Emeka's running free here. So CJ just has to pick who he wants to, have score the touchdown, basically, or get it down to the 1 yard line. Nevada, what do you think about this play? In this series so far for Ohio State, we're almost through the first series, but really impressive stuff so far.
Yeah, what I think is that I had a bet on Cade Stover at 16-1 to score the first touchdown for Ohio State in the game. And so at this point, they get down there near the goal line, and I'm thinking, I might get this. And then, they go a different direction. They bring in Maya and get the touchdown, and then sure enough, Cade gets touchdowns 2 and 3. So, Ohio State – we had a feeling they were going to do some stuff at the tight end. As you said, they were motioning him all over the field. They were going to him near the goal line. That throw there to Emeka that set up the touchdown was just just a terrific throw by CJ. And the OSU offense, when it's cranked up and it's going, I'm just not sure I think you can, you might be able to slow it down, but you're not going to be able to stop it because we just have too many weapons and they're fully implementing it. You know, this isn't a individual moment of brilliance by some great player on the Ohio State offense right now. This is just, yeah, great scheme, great design, and just a plethora of weapons that Ohio State can attack you with from every angle. And they did it on this drive and this entire quarter.
Yeah. And this is, I think my man PJ loses his feet here. We saw this. I don't know if this is the new turf or he's just coming out of shoes. This guy swims them. You know, PJ's coming down to kill him. Again, I've had this happen. So, you know, it's never good when you have the three technique literally in the hole because our left tackle hit the ground, but you know, it happens as part of football. But, you know, mine's a bull and you know, he's able to get it in. You know, this is a real interesting look. So we have three tight ends and because we have G Scott in here. We've got Mitch and we've got Cade. So, you know, but again, this is did Juan get in a 3-point? See, this is one where I think Juan should be in the 3-point. It drives me nuts. He's in a 2-point on the 1-yard line. But, you know, again, I'm not, you know, the coaching staff. And I know that I don't think Juan's very comfortable in a 3-point because he's so big. But, you know, this is not a missed assignment. It's just a poor technique because everywhere else is pretty clean. You know, we get this, we get this, we get this. I mean, it's easy. You know, you're going up to here. And, you know, if one of these guys shows up, then, you know, mine's got to chuck him. I mean, that's why you put mine in here because, you know, he's got the leg drive to get past these guys. You know, if we get, you know, Matt, I don't think Matt's not great here either. I think that he would want to be more vertical unless at an angle, you know, I mean, cause they're running a game here. So, you know, generally on the goal line, they're going to move, they're going to do something. So yeah, I think PJ and Matt aren't great here, but it's enough to get a touchdown and it's all that matters. So these guys got their dances, they got their little things they do. The three tight end look, I like. And, you know, it gets in. Again, football, you know, there's so many plays that just aren't, they're just not perfect. And so this isn't like it's some sort of, well, this, you know, should always be perfect. But it's just like you kind of show the little things that, you know, we can get better at. Because that's like the good thing about a game where, you know, you massacre a team like we did with Wisconsin is like you can watch it and say, okay, there's still a lot of things that we need to clean up and get better at. You know, so it's not just everything's completely perfect and you know, even the scoreboard is amazing and whatever, but it's always good to have like those little things where Justin Fry and Ryan Day and Jim Knowles and all the coaches can really, you know, point back to things and say, hey, this is something that we need to clean up and get better at. So, Nevada, we watched the first offensive drive. I'm going to wrap this thing up so it doesn't go too long. Cause you know me, I can watch this film forever. Any thoughts on that first drive on what Ryan Day and Kevin Wilson are doing on offense and, you know, how it translates to the season going forward?
Nah, just the you just saw the plays and, you know, it was fun for you to walk through and show kind of the coherence of the play calling and how plays built upon another. And I just thought that final play really just brought home, you know, one of the things we talked about in the differences in the running backs. I mean, Mayan had no business scoring on that play. That play should have been blown up near the goal line, and we probably score on second, and maybe Cade Sober gets that pass, and maybe I win that 16-1 proposition bet. But mine was just too good, too big, too strong, and he drags that guy into the end zone. But yeah, what a performance by the Ohio State offense, and what a performance by the great team, great crowd. I mean, everything about that game was exactly what we wanted it to be, and you know, really kind of put an exclamation point on Ohio State. You know, Ohio State lost a little bit of their mojo at the end of last season, but the, you know, after the Oregon loss and then kind of stumbling through the season and then that debacle up in Ann Arbor and then kind of a funky Rose Bowl, you know, I think that Ohio State needed to get their mojo back. I think they've got it back. And I think they're that game announced to the nation that Ohio State is going to be there till the very end. And that was as good a performance I've seen in a long time. It was really, really fun to be part of it.
Yeah. And I think that you're right. I think it was great seeing five-star defensive end Keon Keeley in the building. Hopefully we get him locked in as a commitment. I think if you're a defensive end and you're watching what Jack Sawyer and JT are doing every week, I don't know how you wouldn't want to play in that system. And plus, they've got 1 year left after Notre Dame before they're both likely going to go pro. So if you're a guy who's a senior in high school, come in, rotate in next year, and then be the guy as a true sophomore. I can't imagine a more appetizing depth chart. than that. So with that being said, I'm going to wrap this thing up. You guys, we are going to be on the Scoop all night talking football. Big press conferences for Ohio State tomorrow. Rutgers went today. Starting to analyze, you know, how does it look the rest of the way? The stretch run. Michigan State has been announced at 4 o'clock kickoff. So things are starting to set into motion for the Buckeyes. So with that being said, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a like. I appreciate you guys. As always, we really are having a blast here on the Scoop. BuckeyeScoop.com is the spot. We are on the message boards constantly. New info, new insights, new updates, new rumblings from inside the program. We love bringing you guys the best inside information in the game. So if you are not a member of Buckeye Scoop, you should consider joining, because if you try it, you'll probably love it and you'll probably never leave, because our people that are on there, they love it. And it is something where we have a great fellowship. We have great men and women that join it. And it is something that's always a blast for us to be a part of. So with that being said, comment. What do you want to get out of this Rutgers game? Appreciate you guys. Shout out where you're from too. I love when you guys do that. It's one of my favorite things to read in the comments is how widespread the Scoop World Order has become. I mean, we are in seemingly every continent. I haven't got my Antarctica one yet, but I'm hoping for it. But I appreciate you guys. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Buckeye Nation. Thank you, Scoop family. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you guys soon. Go Bucks.